Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, and then I'm also going to read out of Jeremiah 14, right afterwards. Jeremiah 14, 14. Father, we thank you for truth. Your word is truth. We thank you, Father, that it's an anchor to our soul. There's so many things going around that aren't of you. Help us to test the spirits, Lord. We just pray for your wisdom and your guidance in Jesus' name. In 1 John 4, 1, it said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." So here we see there is another spirit. One of my close relatives said, "I was reading about false prophets, but I don't know any." And that so troubled me because I know, I love her dearly, but I know she's sitting under false prophets right now. And this is the thing, we never think we could be deceived by a false prophet. Well, we're going to share some things tonight, or today, or wherever you're at, about testing the spirits. Because just because a spirit is manifested, and just because you experience something, doesn't mean it's from the Lord. And this is a personal testimony that I have coming out of the New Apostolic Reformation. I have a YouTube, Beware of the New Apostolic Reformation. Listen to that. I can go in more detail. But I was born again, saved, and this was the move back in the 70s that we all jumped into and thought it was God and did not know scriptures, didn't know anything. I was raised heathen, so didn't know anything about the Bible. So when I got born again and into a church, this was the message back then in the 70s, 80s, 90s. And I know it's not going to stop. And that's why we have to know the spirits, test the spirits. So I want to share a couple of things that I learned coming out of these movements. And I was very involved with a lot of national speakers as my friends, and was firsthand invited to some of these meetings, sitting on the front row of many of these meetings, and thought this was from God, thought we were hearing from God, thought I could trust these leaders. And I just want to share some of that to test the spirits because of some of the things we've come out of. What should have flagged us? Why didn't we see it? And hopefully we'll learn these things now as the enemy increasingly tries to deceive the church in the end times. Deception is his key, coming in the name of God, just like they did in Jeremiah 14, 14. "Thus saith the Lord unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name." They're not going to come in any other name. They're going to come in his name. Otherwise, it doesn't have that punch. It doesn't have that power of deception. "So I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesied unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their own hearts." And again, he goes on and he says, they prophesy in my name. And they're always prophesying peace. They're always prophesying good things. You're going to be blessed and prospered and blah, blah, blah. So we're going to talk about testing the spirits because the false church has been and will continue to persecute the real church, the narrow path walkers, I call it. And this is one of the things that duped us back in this last move, the New Apostolic Reformation move, the Laughing Revival, whatever you want to call revival, global revival, that got us, is that we were told that if we resist this, we're resisting God, and that we were going to be left behind, and we were shamed and guilted and manipulated into this, you have to obey this, and it's coming down from this person, and they had a revelation from God. And so we just thought that they did, so we followed them. But we've learned, and there's a few of us left to talk about this, and I believe that we need to share this, to test the spirits, because I've never heard a message on how do I test a spirit. Well, you test it with the Word of God, and you also know, like it says, not all spirits are from God. They're real, but they're demonic. they're also invading the church as the Holy Spirit. So how do we know? There's such a mixture going on right now of mysticism, and the New Apostolic Reformation is mysticism, as well as many other things. So the first thing you have to be aware of when you're testing a spirit is testing to see if all we want is God. We want the Bible God, not this mystical God that you have to have an encounter and you have to have a visitation and you have to have all this stuff, because trust me, if you open yourself up to the spirit realm, you will get a manifestation. You will get an encounter. You will get all these things thinking it's God, but how do you know if it is or not? So many today say pointing out biblical error is heresy hunting. Right away, you get tagged as a heresy hunter, or they protect themselves and others with "do not judge." And it's only love and unity card. Love and unity. Love and unity. We all have to walk in love. We're all under the same umbrella. Or we all worship the same God. You have your path, I have mine. That's one of the things we talked about with Norman Vincent Peale. What is this? This is universalism. And universalism is huge right now. And one of the examples of universalism is the shack, the divine feminine, that God is a woman, blah, 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 that God is in all things, and that's pantheism, which identifies God with the universe, the worship of all gods. Included in this is mysticism, and I was thinking about it as I was studying this, about mysticism always wants you to have an encounter. And I was like, okay. And then as the more and more I started thinking about it, I was like, this is what I came out of. This is exactly what we do. We go to these meetings and we wanted to be touched. We wanted to be touched, we thought, by the Holy Spirit. And then if you get, and I was invited to when all the pastors were invited in the 90s, I was invited by one of my friends that was a pretty national woman speaker at the time, the number one one. And so I trusted her and I thought, okay, you're inviting, even paid for the hotel, everything. So this has to be of God, because everyone's endorsing this. And so I got sucked into this. And the things that I noticed is once you have one of these encounters, you want another one. You can't wait to get another one. And if you get touched and you laugh or you roll, whatever you do, it was so much fun, then you want another one. And what happens to you is you stop wanting to really read the Bible or be in the Bible. You want to feel something. You want to open yourself up to be touched. And you just, the next time then you want another one. And pretty soon you're really kind of, if they start preaching a little bit, you can't wait for that part to be over. You want to have the encounter part. And little by little, you just keep on wanting to have more of this being filled, the fire, all this stuff. And this is all mysticism. And I say that because I was in it. I was all the way in. When I'm in, I'm all the way in. And I thought it was God. And many, many of you that are listening to me, some of you say, I'm clueless, that never happened to me. But the other half of you understand it totally. Yep. But I'm saying this because we have to learn how to test the spirits, because the church has been infiltrated. It will continually be infiltrated. And when the next so-called move comes, how will we know if it's another false prophet bringing in another spirit? It's this New Age awakening, and they call it the Great Awakening, and it's being spread in all so-called the churches. They use Bible words out of context, and they reinterpret by experience. I felt God said. Everything's God said. And Philippians 2:15 through 16, I remember back then, my whole language was God said, the Spirit said. Oh, I felt you just got into this realm of emotionalism, thinking that you were just so tuned in, everything you heard from God all the time, or you had this vision, and you were constantly plugged into something else, thinking it was right. Now, Philippians 2:15 through 16, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, holding forth the word of life. We're supposed to shine as lights. So where did we get the idea that this world was just so great? Everything according to the Bible, it's perverse, it's crooked. We are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Well, the enemy comes to the church. He comes to the church. He doesn't care what you believe as long as it's not the Bible. I'll say that again. He doesn't care what you believe as long as it's not the Bible. And one of his greatest deceptions is to offer all sorts of religious experiences, mystical, supernatural. I remember we used to go to these camp meetings, and they were called Signs and Wonders Camp Meetings. Right there, that should have been a flag, because they're seeking signs. And the Bible says that a wicked generation seeketh after signs, right? Divine visitations and encounters and talking to the dead or your departed loved ones, which is necromancy, or a new revelation that comes from angels. Is this from the demonic, or is this human elements? Is this from the Lord, or is this another spirit? I have to test it. Then we place certain leaders that have heard from God, had these visitations, have this divine anointing. We trust them. We put them on a pedestal because of their encounters and their special revelations. And then you just hear them talk, just like they have this hotline, God told me, God said. And that's how we all talk back then. So mysticism is gaining knowledge through experience. It's not through the Bible, it's through having an experience. And these experiences are real. You open yourself up and you have real things happen to you, which I'm going to get into. But mysticism, they teach a secret knowledge. Deeper things are learned by encounters. To a mystic, this is a spiritual awakening or enlightenment or a Gnostic knowing. To have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Well, 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face-to-face." Not now.
Amen.
Not now. But the future. We are not seeing him face-to-face, and no, neither is anyone. Again, Jeremiah 14, they're lying to you. Or they're seeing something else. And there's a lot to see out there in that realm. Let me tell you. We need discernment within the church. Let's take a glimpse of one of the roads. This is experience seekers travel, because you want an experience, and pretty soon you want another experience, and then that experience doesn't carry you over. You want another experience. So this is the road that experience seekers travel. And we have to remember, not every spirit is the Holy Spirit. They'll say it is. And if you kind of look at things generally, there's very little difference between what goes on in a charismatic church and what goes on in Eastern mysticism. And when I started learning about the Kundalini spirit, I saw that same spirit happening with the unsaved in different religions. When the guru touched them and they went off and shook and laughed and all that, the same thing that was happening in our charismatic so-called global awakenings. In the church, they call it a revival, a great awakening with signs and wonders. What this really is, again, it's the new apostolic reformation. And this is global. This hit every nation. This isn't just a little thing that happened. This is global. This whole so-called great awakening has been happening and is going to continue to happen, because they're making a path with the New Age. They're all coming together, universalism, all of it, anything against Christ, because of they're making a path for the what? The spirit of the Antichrist, right? Which is in the world already. And I just want to show how we can test this one move of God that we call, let's call it the Laughing Revival. It's what a lot of people did. The leader of the Laughing Revival said, now just think about what is being said. Because what they say is a clue to what is really happening, whether this is from God or not. In 1979, he spent hours praying for a deeper experience with God, praying for an encounter. He prayed to God saying, either you come down here and touch me or I will come up there and touch you. He shouted over and over, I want your power. I want your power. You, are we supposed to be craving power? Here's a test. His body felt like it was on fire and he laughed uncontrollably. Here's a quote. I was plugged into heaven's electric supply. And since then, my desire has been to go and plug other people in. Are we supposed to be plugged in to heaven's electric supply? Right away, these kind of things should have flagged us if we knew what we were dealing with. But a lot of us were just young. We just wanted God. We just wanted to have the real thing. And I'm sharing this because many people didn't make it through this move of God. They got hurt, they got wounded, they had experiences that freaked them out. Some ended up, lots of different stories happened as a result of these so-called encounters. And a lot of people just said, I don't know how to pray anymore, I don't know how to trust God, I don't know which leaders I can trust. People are all over the board on this. This went mainstream by the leaders, basically on television, everywhere. They were, every time you turned the TV on, there was this revival going on, or that revival. And I believe it's probably going to happen again, and that's why we need to know how to test spirits. It was said, skeptics and hesitators and procrastinators do not get anointed. So if you're a leader, you want to be anointed. So they're telling you that if you're a hesitator, if you're a procrastinator, you're not going to get it. So you got to keep opening yourself up. You got to get into that trance like you got to worship until you don't have a mind left. Yeah. Just open up, open up. You're opening up yourself. And then they warn people or churches that wavered, they could be eliminated. Or the prophets that we used to follow said, if they don't receive our message, they can die in their pulpits. That's nothing more than fear and manipulation. God doesn't do that. He doesn't do any of this. Now, Matthew 16:4, Jesus warns that a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Or you could put seeketh after an encounter. A number of Christians have experienced the equivalent of holy laughter when they were in the New Age. When they were in the New Age, they experienced this, and they would come to church and they would go, I experienced this in the New Age, and now it's in our church. The Indian guru, I'll just spell his name, something something, R-A-J-N-E-E-S-H, was affectionately known by his followers as the Divine Drunkard, because he was reputed to have drunk so deeply from the well of the divine. When followers were touched by this man, this guru, or even they were in his presence, they would often experience feelings of great exhilaration and joy. Another disciple of another one of these gurus would often manifest uncontrollable laughter after receiving physical contact from the guru. So this isn't just charismatic churches. This spirit is in the New Age. Some examples of the holy laughter in other religions. Kundalini energy is typically described as a powerful energy source lying dormant in the form of a coiled serpent at the base of the human spine. The New Age authors of the book, The Stormy Search for the Self, describes how the awakening of Kundalini energy can be triggered by advanced spiritual teacher or guru. And how the awakening, this is what they talk about, the awakening, individuals in this process find it difficult to control their behavior. Now, some of you won't understand this, but you that have been in these charismatic meetings will know all sorts of different physical manifestations happened. During power rushes of the Kundalini energy, they often emit various involuntary sounds, and their bodies move in strange and unexpected patterns. Among the most common manifestations are unmotivated, unnatural laughter or crying, initiating a variety, many of animal sounds and movements. We heard people were barking like dogs and acting like lions. And We were in the charismatic zoo is where we were. Now this Indian guru, Rajneesh, or whatever his name, the former Oregon guru, tells of one of his followers in the book, Dance Your Way to God. Just be joyful. God is not serious. This world cannot fit with a theological God. This is cutting down the Bible. This is saying you don't need that. So let this be your constant reminder that you have to dance your way to God, to laugh your way to God. Often referred to as being drunk on the divine, this guru encouraged his followers to come and drink from him. Now think about it. You're drinking from this guru, and your eyes aren't even on the Lord. You're following, we followed men that had a spirit we thought was God, but it's the same spirit that was in the New Age and other religions. We just had a different name. We called it the Holy Spirit, being filled, being on fire. This is hard to preach, guys, because this is where we came from. This is like, oh. Now, this guy's spiritual wine was often passed along with a single touch to the head. We called it the Holy Ghost bartender, didn't we? What's going to happen in the next so-called move of God? What are they going to say? Many of these people would fall to the floor in ecstasy after their encounters with this guru. Then also, they had complete visions, and they astral projected. They had a few minutes, and some had a few days. They were accompanied by uncontrollable laughter or weeping. This is unsaved things. This is how the world is. This is the stuff that was in other religions, and it swept in to so-called charismatic churches, and it divided the churches. The people that were for it or against it. It caused immense division because none of us really knew the Bible and we didn't know how to test a spirit and we just trusted our leaders. So we all thought this has to be right and we don't want to reject it. We don't want to be unanointed. We don't want to be left out. So the persecution has already been happening from the false church because this is part of it. If you don't jump in, then you're out. And these other gurus from different religions could send others into this state with a single touch to the head or the chest. Manifestations included uncontrollable laughing, roaring, barking, hissing, crying, shaking. Some devotees became mute or unconscious. Many felt themselves being infused with feelings of great joy, peace, and love. At other times, the fire of Kundalini was so overwhelming they would find themselves involuntary, hyperventilating to cool themselves down. Then they had various body movements, sensations of love and freedom, all reach a higher level of consciousness. So let's look at that scripture again in closing here. Beloved, believe not every spirit. So this is a spirit, not just in the charismatic movement, but it's in the charismatic movement. It's still in some of the word of faith things. They're merging. These movements are merging. Believe not every spirit. And this doesn't make you popular preaching this way. Let me tell you, ever since I've been on this quest for truth, it goes against everything most people believe. And I remember the day that people would talk against some of my favorite teachers. Now I call them false teachers. I would fight you. Because you aren't supposed to touch the anointed. And they had a vision of Jesus. So who are you to talk against them? Well, you study their visions of Jesus, and there again, their visitations take you away from the Bible. And this one that I used to follow had 7 visitations, and each visitation changed the Bible. You don't need to pray. Now you just send your angels out. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Believe not every spirit. So just because someone's popular, they're famous, they have a big ministry, does not mean they're from God.
That's right.
And that's the hard part for us all to swallow. But try the spirits where they are of God because many, not just a couple, but many false prophets are gone out into the world. God did not send them. They're coming in his name, but they're coming with different signs and wonders. And these are the things that the Bible says that we have to watch out for in the church, because the false church is coming out of the church. This is the thing they don't realize, is that, well, you know, the devil's out there somewhere. No, he's in our midst trying to get us to not believe the Bible. The devil, again, doesn't care what you believe as long as it's not the Bible. So what do? We read our Bibles. And that's one thing we didn't do in these moves. They would take a couple scriptures and then storytelling. All they do is talk about their stories. And my woman friend, all she does is talk about herself. I'm telling you, this is how you know. They're not really preaching the Bible. They're not giving you anything to live. How do you walk? How do you walk with God? How do you do His will? They say, if you pray, if it be thy will, that you're in unbelief. Well, the Bible says, you'll call me Lord, Lord, but do not do the will of God. We want to walk in the will of God, right? So we find it out by how to live, how to walk, how do we treat each other? How do we submit to each other? How do we forgive each other? These are the things that are practical that we need every day. So the things I personally observed, an experience is what everyone wanted. We go to these meetings to be touched, to get the fire. Then more. What's the next thing? It's always another thing that they try to get you, because they're going after the masses. Don't look for an experience. Just have a relationship with the Lord. If He wants to do something, to say something, it's on Him. We aren't seeking it. That's not what we're thrusting after, is to open ourselves up to all these things. The Bible was considered really boring. God was doing a new thing. There's a new paradigm shift, and now it's encounters, it's experiences. People kept coming for more and more, and I noticed some of the people, they never changed. They were living in sin, and they came to laugh or whatever, but they left the same way they came, just another experience. But there was no real repentance. There was no real change. This one particular family that kept coming in prayer all the time, one of them was living, I can't even tell you what was going on, but they looked like they were getting touched every week. But there was no change. There was really no walk with the Lord. They just wanted a good time. They wanted to party, we used to call it. Go party. This is the experience mystical road. This is it. This is part of it. We're to test the spirits. The leaders of these movements said, the critics are people who have no fear of God and are in grave danger of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. We didn't want to come against what the Holy Spirit was doing, and they would say, if you come against what we're doing, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Well, we didn't want to do that. So this is how they manipulate you. This is how you test the spirits to see. And then the offerings went on forever. Oh, my word. It's like really just on and on and on and on. I thought, people came to give, they're going to give. If they want to give, they're going to give. Just please shut up. It just went on forever. And then sometimes they'd take more than one. Yeah. Persecution has and will continue from the false church, from the harlot church. They're going to say it's God, it's a move of God, it's a great awakening. But you got to test. You got to test everything by the Bible, what they're saying, how God visited them, either you come down or I'm going to come. It's like, is that threatening God? If you don't come down and touch me because I want more power. That sounds like Simon in the Bible, you know, the sorcerer that wanted all the power. We're not to seek power. That right there. We're supposed to walk in love, the real love, which is taking what the Bible says about love, not just this mystical love. Just love everybody. We just love. We don't judge. We don't touch. We end up being totally illiterate. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to believe anything but the Word of God. So what's our recommendation? We got to read our Bible for ourselves. Don't let somebody else interpret the Bible for you. Read it and see what it says. Father, we thank you. Help us test the spirits. This is something we've come out of. It's a lot of digging to come out. It's a lot of work to come out when this is what we only knew. But we thank you for bringing us out and help bring other people out to the true knowledge and the Savior Jesus Christ, not to false prophets and teachers that are trying to make merchandise of the saints and to try to lead them away from you. Father, just expose this for what it is and help your people. In Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, and on the Living in His Presence Church website, where you can access the messages on the top center of the main webpage. There are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.